Now to that extraordinary story of a Japanese flag's journey from Japan to a battlefield in Borneo to Australia, and only now back to Japan again. Taken as a souvenir in the Second World War, its return to Japan has bound two families, one Australian, the other Japanese, together almost 70 years after their grandfathers faced each other in battle. The story begins on a tiny island off the coast of Borneo in the final campaign of the Australian War in the Pacific. James Bourne reports.
At a forward base in the Pacific, Australian troops and their equipment embark in transports for the attack on Tarakan Island off the east coast of Borneo.
It may have been small, but to the Japanese, Tarakan, with its airfield and oil supplies, was a crucial base in the war in the Pacific, and that, of course, made it equally important to the Allies.
Bombs rained down on the Tarakan oil field, a vital source of supply for the Japanese Navy and for the Japanese divisions fighting in the Philippines.
On the 1st of May 1945, Allied forces made an amphibious landing on Tarakan after weeks of bombing, and by nightfall had secured the beach. Among the 15,000 Allied troops was a young Australian private, Alec Mustin, who, at just 22, was already a veteran of campaigns in North Africa and New Guinea.
My dad actually went in with the sappers, if you like, who disengaged a lot of the mines. A lot of the mines that were there were from that the Allies had dropped earlier to try and keep Japan out, and to try and remove a lot of obstacles that the Japanese had put in.
That's Alec Mustin's son, Bruce Mustin. He says the Allied forces also faced resistance from about 2,000 Japanese soldiers. One of those was another 22-year-old private, Yoshizo Kato.
The Japanese withdrew inland but were cleaned up later. Another Pacific island was cleared by the untiring and gallant efforts of Australia's fighting men.
Alec Mustin survived Tarakan. Yoshizo Kato wasn't so lucky. It's not known if Alec Mustin played a role in the death of Yoshizo Kato, but what is known is that he came home not only with the physical and mental wounds of war, but also with a flag that had belonged to the young Japanese soldier. And this war souvenir wasn't treated like a trophy.
It was always wrapped up, was always kept clean, and it was always in the linen press between sheets and everything. In the time that we've had it, I think we worked out it was 69 years, it was always treated with honour and dignity and respect.
Alec Mustin's eldest son, Bruce, inherited the flag upon his father's death in 1976. But while he'd long known of its existence, it made him uneasy.
I had it for 30-odd years after my dad died, 76. I've had it since then, and the feeling of it was that it was always trying to get home.
And so he set about trying to find its rightful owners. Unable to find any records to assist him at Australia's war memorials, Bruce Mustin showed the flag to an interested family friend, librarian Barbara Harrison, who, in turn, showed it to Yoko Shei Ichikawa, her school's Japanese teacher, when they saw a series of inscriptions on the flag.
She started looking at it, and lo and behold, her family was in the same precinct as the Kato families. And she rang and told her family, and the young son went across to the Katos and told the grandson, who told his great-grandfather, who was Yoshida's younger brother, 88-year-old younger brother, Tomiji. And he cried. He said, that's unbelievable, you know. And he said, if I can't have it back, I'd love to have it back. I'd like a photo, a really good photo of it.
What Bruce Mustin had in his possession was a good luck flag. In Japanese, Hinomaru Yozagaki. These were presented to departing Japanese soldiers, with family, classmates and friends signing them around a central sun disk, a design similar to the current Japanese flag. The practice of souveniring the Hinomaru Yozagaki of fallen Japanese soldiers was commonplace among the Allies, but once he knew it was the flag of Yoshizo Kato, Bruce Mustin was determined to return it to the Kato family. And so, 69 years after the Battle of Tarakan, that's exactly what he did. When a minibus full of the Katos from Totsuka, near Tokyo, arrived in Kolaroi on Sydney's northern beaches on a sunny Saturday morning.
We are very happy to get the flag taken home.
Among them, the younger brother of Yoshizo Kato, Tomoji. Now 82, he was determined to make the long trip to collect the flag, the only tangible connection with the brother that he'd lost in war.
On July 18th of 1945, we received the official report of Yoshizo's death from the government, telling us that he had been killed on Tarakan Island. For our family, though, it was very sad to receive only a piece of paper and a small, empty, white wooden box. In those days, a white wooden box was used for putting soldiers' remains in after they were killed in the war. But that was very important to every family, to have something to honour your loved one with.
Looking down at a signature on the flag that he himself had made as an 11-year-old, Tomoji Kato said he felt it was no coincidence that the flag had found its way back to him 69 years later.
We want you to know how overwhelmed we are that we can have Yoshizo's relic and bring it back to his own home. He must have been wanting to go home. We cannot thank you enough for your kindness, time and effort. We cannot express the joy you have given us.
Bruce Mustin says that both his father and Yoshizo Kato fought for the same things, for their countries and for their families. Next year marks 70 years since the end of the war in the Pacific, and it's hoped that by then, some global campaigns now underway will help bring more of these good luck flags back home to Japan, where they belong.
James Bourne reporting, and if you want to learn more about the campaign to return good luck flags to families in Japan, we'll put a link on our website.